Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake Volnick with you guys. We got Michael Boehmer on the board as well. Mackenzie Flume on 2020s and doing things behind the glass. Does the Senior Bowl really get me excited? A little bit. Like, I get to watch some of my draft prospects, especially in the year where you're looking for a quarterback and you have a first-round pick. Yeah, some of this stuff gets a little bit exciting, but no, it's also not the most interesting thing in the world. I can be honest with you and sit there and tell you that this does not rile me up 100% of the way. But there are things to take away from these days, whether that's Brown-specific, player-specific. There's things that you can draw out of them and actually, use to either excite you about the future of next season or really drag you down and put you in the dumps. We're going to try to work with what is going to be the first, the former of that. And we're going to see if there's anything that comes out of this that we're actually excited about. And I think the main thing here that actually does something for me is the fact that when you look at who is representing the Browns at the Senior Bowl, who is on the sidelines actually watching this content and watching the players and taking evaluation, most of the time you sit here and it's been just Andrew Berry. Right? It makes sense. Your GM, your talent evaluator, the guys who's likely going to be putting in a lot of those picks, it has been just Andrew Berry. So it's not a knock on the Browns that that's been the case, and it really just, it wasn't anything shocking and isn't anything that you point out to be like, this isn't really news. But this year, things change. And you get both Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski evaluating the talent and specifically evaluating the quarterback talent at the Senior Bowl. And that draws a little bit of interest for me. That's something that does something for me because it is out of the norm and clearly something that they made as a conscious decision as to, hey, we need a quarterback. This year is more important than years have been in the past in terms of our job security and really nailing it down and getting everything right because you just went from a 3-win team and you're hoping to be a team that's competitive, again, to save your job, but also to keep this franchise in a spot where they can compete for the next 3 to 5 years. Right? There's a lot that goes into this year that is more than just Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski's job, but a lot of that rides on there too. So yes, this is a massive just moment and a massive thing to get right, the quarterback position for the Browns heading through. We all know that. This isn't new information to you. But with both of those guys being there, it's interesting to me now that when things come to, hey, I need to identify a quarterback, we need to get this thing right, it's no longer just Andrew Berry. Now Kevin Stefanski gets into the mix. He is now in the fold of, hey, I need to come through and I need to see these guys with my own two eyes. I need to be able to evaluate the quarterback that is going to save the franchise, save my job, be able to actually make this team competitive, right? Everyone has bad things to say about this quarterback class. I've heard several times that any of the guys in this, whether it's Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, wouldn't have been in the top six in 2024, right? They wouldn't have competed with the J.J. McCarthys and your Drake Mays and everybody else that went last year. Your rookie class from this year, the guys this year just don't compare. But if you're Kevin Stefanski, you're not just writing off that notion. You have to go there and you have to see it with your own two eyes and find if there is a diamond in the rough. Find if one of the top two guys really is worth being a top two pick. And them putting their heads together on that makes this interesting. Because for what has been, hey, trust your scouts, trust Andrew Berry, go out there, identify talent, You know, Andrew does that. Kevin sticks to work with what's given to you and try to find success on the field. All of a sudden, that changes. All of a sudden, that is different to now where these guys have talked about sort of being tied at the hip, their jobs being one in one together. This is really the first time that you're seeing it. This is the first time that you see those guys not acting as, hey, this is my job, this is your job, but putting together a collaborative effort. It's not just Kevin Stefanski showed up. It's not he gets his pick and what he says goes. It is these two guys now working together to find what is the correct solution for this franchise. So you're putting two heads together instead of one, and you're doing that on site. You're doing that with someone who has to see it with their own two eyes. And again, these guys working hand in hand to get that job done. And I want to know whether or not that makes you more confident that the Browns can actually get this pick right. In a way, taking it out, at least solely out of the hands of Andrew Berry. I've heard the complaints week after week, day after day, month after month of, I don't trust Andrew Berry. I don't trust that guy to go make a draft pick and to make sure that this draft, he finds the right talent, he makes the right picks at the right time, and truly turns around this franchise. Well, is this something that then gets you excited? By adding Kevin Stefanski into the mix, you've now taken the job out of Andrew Berry's hands solely. It was always a collaborative effort, and they're always going to tell you it's a collaborative effort. But when Andrew's over there evaluating talent, having the conversations, and clearly in just the general way that things work, the GM plays the larger part. That's the guy who's truly, at the end of the day, has a say at what happens. Jake Bowman with the guys on The Fan, asking you at 216-474-0092, do you like that Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are working together as a team to identify talent this year at the Senior Bowl? And I would imagine, honestly, for time to be after that as well. I would think that they go together and probably work together. You're going to work together at the Combine. That's a little bit of a bigger event. You have several guys there. The interviews are a much larger scale. But I would think as events pop up, pro days pop up, you probably see Kevin, sticking his head in, seeing what guys are doing, especially the quarterbacks. I think that's really where he's leaning in to make sure that he has his guy. Right? And having them work together as one thing, I think identifying them separate, and we'll never get this answer, right? We'll never know at the end of the day who really felt good about the quarterback that they end up taking. Because I do believe at some point they'll end up drafting a quarterback, whether that's early or late, still to be determined. But they'll draft somebody. And we'll never get the answer. Was it more Andrew Berry's guy? Was it more Kevin Stefanski's pick there or anything else? We'll probably never get that. But to me, it makes a difference of how confident you would be in that guy too. If I know that this is an Andrew Berry pick and he sort of overrode Kevin on maybe what was his favorite guy in the draft and decided to go with his own, yeah, I think I would feel much less confident knowing Andrew Berry went through and made that pick than if it was, yeah, this is Kevin's guy. Kevin went out and picked him and he went out and got the guy that he wanted. Because if it's Andrew Berry, I've seen the guys that Andrew Berry has identified. Right? You've went out and at least played some part in saying, hey, we want Deshaun Watson. And with the tape, what was there on tape is one thing. Identifying what the large risk there was and how much somebody was willing to put it all on the table and say, yeah, no, you should go ahead and sign a $230 million contract, Jimmy. Whether that was Jimmy himself having a little bit of an intrinsic conversation or whether or not that was Andrew Berry selling him that, or maybe it was a guy out west sitting in the comfort of his own home in San Diego. Who knows? Somebody went through and did that. But you ended up with Deshaun Watson. You drafted Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who, I mean, complete flop. I don't know who still feels confident in him at this point. If you do, you probably shouldn't, because all signs point to the fact that he is not going to be an NFL caliber quarterback, even at the backup level. Right? And that's sort of what you've gotten out of Andrew Berry. And from a quarterback perspective, Those are the guys that you've ended up with. Not inspiring a whole lot of confidence. And is Kevin really made a picket quarterback at this point in his career? Not that we know of. You sort of got handed Kirk Cousins. Maybe you had a say in sort of picking up Joe Flacco off the couch. And who can run this offense that's actually still out there? I'm sure he had his hands in that one. But yeah, a lot harder to identify an 18-year-old quarterback, a 21-year-old quarterback. Not 18. That kid would be in college. A 21, 22, 23-year-old quarterback. But comparing that to, hey, this 38-year-old quarterback looks pretty good. Yeah, a lot more tape on the 38-year-old. A lot easier to identify what works. So I'm probably not overly confident in either. But knowing that, hey, it's Kevin's system, Kevin goes and picks that, I'd probably feel better knowing if it was his pick compared to Andrews. I don't see how you wouldn't. How do you end up saying that you'd feel more confident in a Barry pick? You haven't seen a lot of first-round draft picks, but I've seen what you've identified so far at the quarterback position. And I would have to be glad that Kevin has his nose in. 216-474-0092. Jeff is in Eastlake and first up on the Fan. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, how's it going, Jake? Yeah, I want to compliment on something. All right. Germanian Clowney said he only wanted to play on third down. All right. Deshaun Watson did crappy. Didn't get any criticism. Jameis Winston went out there, made some of the same mistakes, and he got criticized. And he's not making people accountable. That is a big problem. That's basically all I got.
You're talking about Kevin Stefanski, yeah?
Yep.
All right, Jeff, I appreciate the call. I mean, listen, I don't think Kevin's been perfect. Like, Jadeveon Clowney saying that, hey, I want to go through and I only want to play on third down. I think that was a lot more of a Jadeveon problem. Like, he was a little bit upset being overshadowed by Myles Garrett. Well, just about anybody you bring in is going to be overshadowed by Myles Garrett. The criticisms between Deshaun and other quarterbacks, I'm going to be honest, I don't think that was a Kevin Stefanski decision. Now, whether or not it was his to abide by, yeah, you could have went against the orders of the front office and the orders of ownership. If you really made me pick what it came down to, I would have to think that Jimmy and Andrew said, hey, we're paying this guy $230 million. We need him to have all of the confidence in the world. We know he's struggling. Just don't go in there and light him up. And then when Jameis got the chance to take over, obviously because of the Deshaun injury, I think you saw what Kevin was probably pent up and actually wanting to do, which was, I would love to criticize my quarterback and attempt to make him better. Again, I'm more pro Kevin Stefanski than I feel like a lot of the fan base is at this point. But I truly don't think that comes down to a lot on Kevin. And part of it does. You have to step up. And if you truly believe that guy needs to be criticized, that's one thing. But you're sort of putting your own job on the line at that point. So I can't solely put that on Kevin Stefanski. As a guy who just listens to the organization above him, the people above him in the organization itself, he just sort of is a guy that follows orders on that front. For good or bad, that's up for you to interpret, but he's a guy that follows orders, and I would imagine the order coming down was, let's try to keep the confidence going for Deshaun. So criticizing him in the meeting room and in the film room is not going to exactly do that, because I'm sure he knows that he's playing bad. Don't necessarily agree with it, but I would imagine that's what came down. But when you go, Kevin Stefanski is your coach next year, and I understand if you don't have confidence in him. But you have to, I think, at some point, come to terms with the fact that it rides on Kevin. And if you want the Browns to be successful in 2025, then you're hoping for Kevin Stefanski to succeed. And I'm not saying you have to be confident in him, but you're going to have to put your trust in the hands of those two guys to make it work if you want the Browns to be successful in 2025, and Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. And a lot of that rides on Kevin Stefanski. Right, a lot of it comes down to, yes, I need you to be a large part in making the quarterback decision. I need you to implement this offense and turn around what has been this struggling team that you've already been at the helm of. Right, you have to find a way with the options available to you to take this team from 3-14, back to a closer record to what they were in 2023, and get you back on track to start competing for the playoffs again. Because this team is still in a competition window. It's just a matter of fact of filling some holes and get your quarterback, right? I make you sound so easy. I give you, what, 5-6 words in the fix for the Browns? Yeah, a lot bigger problem than it presents itself linguistically there. Right, you have a lot bigger of an issue than the easy one-sentence fix that I just gave you. Like, it's a lot harder to identify, but it comes down to Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. Those are the two guys. You have to, at some point, just accept that those are the two guys that are going to turn this thing around if it's going to happen in 2025. And if you're hoping to be proven right that, hey, I've been saying Kevin Stefanski isn't a great coach, or I've been saying Andrew Berry isn't a great GM, and then you're okay setting the Browns back a few years, because you're going to end up with a quarterback in this draft. You're going to end up with a team that is looking to compete this year and probably going to sell out more than they should in order to do so. So that's the part that confuses me a bit. Is that when people have no confidence in Kevin Stefanski and no confidence in Andrew Berry and saying that there's no chance that these guys get it right, again, I understand where you come from an idea perspective of saying, I don't know that I trust those guys, but you have to. You don't really have another choice. Right? They're going to be there. If you want the Browns to be successful in 2025, those are the guys that you have to put trust in and understand that are going to be making decisions. So if they don't get it right, they're out the door, but so are the Browns' chances to compete probably within a couple of years. It's going to set you back farther not competing in 2025 and not succeeding in that goal than just, hey, well, we change everything around and it's a one-year fix. Because again, you're going to end up with a quarterback. At some point in this draft, you end up with a quarterback. A head coach is probably going to be sold on, because I imagine you probably don't wait until the fifth or sixth round to take one where you can just move on from the guy in 1 year. It's going to be, hey, we have a young quarterback we'd like to see if it can actually work out with. But if it comes down to, hey, I have to have confidence in one of these guys putting their heads together, yeah, it comes down to Kevin Stefanski for me. I can't say that it's going to be Andrew Berry. You have to show me that you can actually identify talent. And even this year, the narratives already start with, even if you get the quarterback right, do you trust Andrew Berry to identify talent? Because Kevin Stefanski is going to have his hand in the pot, his hand in the cookie jar saying, well, I like this guy, I like this guy. And then is it just Kevin's making the identifying picks here and he's the one actually picking up the talent? Or are these guys working together and it's a true mix around and Berry has his say and he's able to turn this thing around? But all in all, as I see these two guys work together at the Senior Bowl, I feel more confident going through in that you're going to get a quarterback that is going to fit what the Browns want to do this year. I feel like even if you end up, right, I have Jalen Milroe very, very low on my quarterback big board. He's right near the bottom, and quarterback big board coming up at about 740 as well. But Jalen Milroe does not sit very high on it. I would feel more comfortable coming out of this draft if they say, hey, Jalen Milroe's the pick. We go at 33 and you want Jalen Milroe, with both of their heads combined saying that's the guy that we want to work with. Okay, I don't like Milroe because I don't think he fits the Kevin Stefanski system. But if Kevin has his pick and says, I can make Milroe work, I like what I see out of the kid, all right, done deal. That is what you get with bringing in your head coach into the mix. Again, you're going to be running the Kevin Stefanski offense. That is what the main contributor is going to be here. Is that Kevin has to be able to work with the guys that are brought in. And as long as he has the chance to have his word be heard and a chance to at least have an impact and have a large part in the say of what quarterback will be under center for the Cleveland Browns in 2025, then I have to be confident in going forward and saying, if Kevin says that's what's going to work, hopefully that's what's going to work. 216-474-0092. Coming up at 740, our Browns quarterback big board, we add Will Howard to the mix. Yes, your Will Howard, Ohio State Buckeye. We've been clamoring. We've been worried about it. You finally get him, and he's coming your way again at around 7:40. It's Jake Volnick with the guys right here on 92.3 The Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys on The Fan. And it is about time for our quarterback big board. I don't know. I like the idea that I don't just have to go directly to this and I just can keep everybody waiting. Because the amount of requests that I've gotten of just, why isn't Will Howard on the board? Why haven't you done Will Howard yet? We were going down the list, okay? We're going down the list and going with who's probably most likely to be taken near the top of the draft. Working our way down. I get it's early rankings. We could have went to Will Howard after the national championship game. No, we got to make everybody wait a little bit. You sort of wait the thing out. It'll be interesting. We'll get there. Before we do get into our quarterback big board here, do want to remind you to download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to 92.3 The Fan for an hour for your daily entry to win the ultimate trip to Vegas. It's a slam dunk in Vegas. One winner and three guests will win a trip to Las Vegas and $5,000 each, totaling $20,000 in total for the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the College Basketball Championships. Full details at 92.3thefan.com. So download the Odyssey app and stream 92.3 The Fan right now and all day long. All right, without further ado, the quarterback big board of Will Howard, your quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes through the transfer portal. Formerly a Kansas State Wildcat. We'll start as we always do, going through with the pros, what I liked from watching the film for Will Howard. We've spent a couple of hours breaking down a couple of his games and just sort of where we see, right? I haven't seen every snap of Will Howard. I don't do this for a living necessarily. I mean, I do this for a living, right? But I don't do draft analysis for a living. So a lot of what smarter people could break down, I'm doing on a much more general scale. So we got a couple of hours of film in for Will Howard. The obvious, in addition to just watching him as an Ohio State Buckeyes fan, the guy excels in the short to medium range, right? He's very good at completing sort of your five-yard downfield passes, your short to mid-range. He can throw a good screen, his strong arm talent in the short range, and he can throw the long ball as well, but he's really going to excel in the short to medium, which, again, we just talked about for 40 minutes, sort of the Kevin Stefanski offense being a premium of the 2025 season, and it's going to come into effect massively. Well, that's the kind of quarterback that exceeds in Kevin Stefanski's offense. So when you're great in the short to medium range, that's a good thing for a quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. I think throughout the college football playoffs this season, in their quest for a national championship, Will Howard displayed probably stronger arm talent than he displayed for the rest of the year. I thought he was much more quick to his delivery with his throws. Everything was a little bit more of on a line than it had been previously. So I was happy with what I saw out of Will Howard. Previously, I think arm talent might have been a little bit of a concern for a lot of people, but you could have no concern after watching him in the college football playoffs. He was nailing every single throw that he had to make. The guy was absolutely incredible, which I think sort of points to what comes next on that list as well, which is the fact that he was just an accurate passer throughout the entire season, but especially again in the college football playoffs, the last four games that he played as a Buckeye, completed like 75% of his passes. He does not get much better than that. Again, a lot of short to medium throws, but he did display sort of the long ball. He was able to go through and make that. So you're pretty happy with what he displayed there. I think that was sort of the Ohio State offense, especially in the college football playoffs, was, hey, a lot of screens, a lot of things sort of 3-4 yards down the field, and then we'll take some shots. And Will Howard was very accurate throughout all of it. A large frame. You love to see the guy sitting at like 240 pounds, a tall, 6'4 to 6'6, wherever you depend on who's measuring Will Howard. And everybody likes to disguise their size. But Will Howard, a good frame, sitting, again, at almost 240 pounds, officially listed at 6'4". You're happy with what you see from a guy that size, and then tack on to the fact that at the college level, very mobile, right? He displayed an ability to move around very well, especially during the college football playoff run. You saw Chip Kelly and Ryan Day sort of unlock the legs for Will Howard and go through and use him in quarterback keepers and read options. I'm not telling you the guy's going to be Jalen Milroe at the pro level, though. And that's sort of where the cons begin for a quarterback like Will Howard. Right? Yes, very elusive, and he wasn't... I mean, I'll be honest. When I watched Will Howard run, at times I was like, is this a newborn deer? So it's a newborn deer running because he could never seem to stay on his feet. He always tripped over something. Whether that was a blade of grass, his offensive lineman's leg, the hand of a defender. He could never maintain the ability to actually stay on his own 2 feet while running. But in just the athleticism overall, I don't know that what worked in college in, hey, he can run a read option, Will Howard will beat the defensive end sort of off the edge. I don't think that that works at the pro level. I think you're going to see a lot more of a pocket passer, but with a large frame, you could see him get under center, maybe try to run the ball a couple of times. Like I'm sure his legs can be utilized to some degree, but he's not going to be Josh Allen. Right? Even at the large frame, he's probably not going to be someone who tucks and runs. A couple of the other things that bothered me about Will Howard too, it's not really a knock to him, but you have to take it into account, is the fact that he was just surrounded by talent. And it makes it hard to truly identify just based off of stats and what you see of, okay, am I getting Will Howard actually completing every single pass in 75% of the mark here in the college football playoffs? Or am I looking at a guy who is surrounded by 2 to 3 day one talents at wide receiver? And a couple of day two talents probably at running back. Like, there was no shortage of talent and NFL talent on the Buckeyes offense. So was I watching Will Howard be dominant and ultra effective? Or maybe was some of that just the fact that, okay, you have a lot of talent around you. And I know some of it was that. I was watching him against Oregon throw into triple coverage and just toss it up to Jeremiah Smith because I can. And he will come down with it. It's not an NFL throw that he makes. It's I have Jeremiah Smith in a college game, and he's better than everybody else. Right? If you're the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, it would not be the case. You do not have the luxury to go through and say, all right, this guy is someone who you can just toss it to. Like Jerry Jeudy is not someone I can just lob it up to every single time, and he's better than everybody else. You don't have that. Which sort of leads me to the fact that Will Howard, I don't think, is the most polished passer in the draft. Like, I think a lot of the stuff is raw talent, and at times he did rely on a lot of the talent around him. And he relied on a lot of screens to, screens and short passes. I don't want to say it was all screens because they did sort of work away from throwing a lot of their screens early on in the college football playoffs. It was something they worked away from late into the season. They worked away from it. But like just short passes and screens overall was something that they utilized towards the back half of the year, especially when you look at it against Notre Dame. It's just, hey, get my playmakers the ball, and it's not like I have to go and do anything crazy. I have to complete a pass that's legitimately 4 yards through the air. And then it gets into the hands of Quinshon Judkins, Jeremiah Smith, Emeka Ogbuka. You were able to rely on that at times. And then even the deep balls were sort of just, hey, I'll put it in a decent spot, but if it's Jeremiah Smith down there, if it is Ogbuka down there, you just go through and it's like, okay, that's a day one NFL talent. That is a first-round draft pick. Going up and making that catch, going through and making an incredible play. And Will Howard had some really good deep balls that he threw late in the year. It was just, okay, how would that look if it was, you know, a 3-star compared to one of the best, if not the best, receiver in all of college football? There's a lot more that goes through to it. I think he struggled at times this season, too. And every quarterback's going to go through their ups and downs. But a lot of the success came in a showcased window of like, okay, towards the back half of the regular season, you saw Will Howard struggle against Nebraska. You saw him struggle mightily against Michigan. And then in the college football playoffs, while I would agree with you, the Buckeyes opened it up more for a successful offense for Will Howard to succeed, and the team in general to succeed, he struggled late, and then a lot of what has raised his stock, and rightfully so, has been the college football playoffs, right? High-pressure moments, yes, but also just a little bit of recency bias. The last four games that you watched of Will Howard are the ones that you're sort of basing it off of. So you go through the pros, you go through the cons. I think when you talk about his fit in Kevin Stefanski's offense, yes, he does fit what Kevin Stefanski likes to do. He would slot in well as a short to medium passer, as a guy who has been under center and with Ohio State, ran plenty of play action. That was a big part of their offense as well. So he does a lot of the things that Kevin likes to do. For me, it's just, if you're looking for a guy that can step in right away and be productive, I don't think you're looking at Will Howard. He's going to be a bit of a developmental piece. He's someone who's going to need time to step into his own role and learn the system, but also just be able to refine some of the stuff. And it's not just physical traits where, yeah, I have questions about the arm talent. I have questions at times about his accuracy, but mostly his ability to read a defense. There were a lot of times at Ohio State where, again, I tell you, he relies on the talent around him. Yes, he did so, but it was just like misreads of the defense. Again, the toss it up to Jeremiah Smith in triple coverage is one that is easy to point to, but also indicative of what I'm talking about. He simply made the wrong read. Jeremiah Smith went out and made a great play, and Will Howard delivered a great football. It was the wrong read. It was a read that Kevin Stefanski would be tearing his hair out about, right? You go back and you watch that play, the corner broke backwards to go try and cover Jeremiah Smith, leaving him triple covered while your tight end in G. Scott was wide open in the flat. Like, it was the wrong read. I think from a ability to read a defense standpoint, there's still a lot that has to go there for Will Howard. I think there is at times an over-reliance on his legs, and he was able to do that in college where he was able to roll out and evade pressure, where he's not going to be able to do that in the same way at the pro level. Your defensive ends, your linebackers, even your defensive tackles are going to be faster than they were at the college level. They're going to be able to track you down. So there's a lot that plays into it, and I was surprised. I was impressed by what I saw from Will Howard. Right, don't get that wrong. I walked in thinking I was going to have Will Howard somewhere near the bottom of my quarterback big board. But he ended up climbing and finding his way and slotting in at 6 of 10 total quarterbacks that we've looked at so far. Right, he doesn't crack the top 5. He falls below 3 other rookies that we've gone through so far. I like Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward better. I don't think that should be a surprise to anybody. I'm going to like them better than a lot of quarterbacks that are available to you. And the other rookie is Jackson Dart. I thought put more on film that I liked and showed more promises to a guy that can turn around and start a lot faster in the NFL. And as a quarterback big board, again, a lot that goes into this. If you want to see the full picture of it, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake, it'll be going up here shortly to show you what it looks like with Will Howard on it. But it's quarterbacks for the Browns next year. Guys that I want to be quarterbacking for the Browns. And yes, like the idea that there could be a development and there could be a bridge quarterback plays into my ideas and my rankings here. But I need you to be ready at some point. I need you to be ready to make an impact. And for me, Will Howard is probably more of you sit on him for a year and then see what he can do. At the very least, he ends up as a very good NFL backup. And he has the potential to do that. As a starter, though, you're going to have to progress and you're going to have to develop and make some true strides. And I don't know that the Browns have the luxury to rely on that. So, yes, he falls at 6. He falls as the 4th rookie on the board. Still not a bad place. Higher than I thought he was going to end up. Like, you climbed over Jalen Milroe and Quinn Ewers. It's an all right place to be. It is not Will Howard shade. Again, you want to see the full thing. At Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. Quarterback that's next up, with Bill Musgrove being hired as your quarterback coach. I think it's only right that we take a look at Derek Carr as that becomes more of a possibility, a legitimate idea that he could be there, at least more so than before. We'll do that tomorrow at 7:40. Again, I'm with you guys all week, Monday through Friday this week, so you'll be able to be sure that you'll see at least three more quarterbacks added to the board by the time Friday ends. 8 o'clock. Our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. We talk to him. We get the latest about the Browns at the Senior Bowl. Maybe if anything's changed on the draft process and how Daryl sees it. Jake Volnick with you guys right here on 92.3 The Fan.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.